Every couple of years, we take a moment to ask, what's Tyler Andrews up to? Yes, he's a great runner. He's competed in 2 U.S. Olympic marathon trials, won a silver medal at the World 50-kilometer championships. He also set a record on a treadmill for a half marathon. But what he's doing in the mountains is leaving everyone, except apparently Tyler, breathless. In 2019, he clocked the fastest known running time on the 40-mile Salgante Trail through the Andes. It takes hikers 4 days. He did it in 6 hours. He's set speed records at Japan's Mount Fuji and Ojos del Salado in Chile. That's the world's tallest volcano. Then last month, Tyler broke the longstanding world record for the fastest ascent and descent of Argentina's Mount Aconcagua, the tallest mountain outside Asia. And he ran this route, which takes experienced climbers 10 to 14 days, in 11 hours and 24 minutes, through snow, sheer ice, rock, high winds, at an altitude of 22,000 feet. Tyler Andrews, congratulations.
Thank you so much, Robin. Thanks for having me here.
How are you feeling? I mean, are you recuperated? I mean, did you need to recuperate, I imagine?
Yeah, absolutely. It was a really, really big effort. I mean, I think anytime you're out in the mountains for doing anything hard for 11 hours, you end up needing a little bit of recovery time.
You told us before we started talking, I'm in a place where there's oxygen. And we'll get to that, you know, the lack of, you know, on Aconcagua. But we also understand this is something you were dreaming about. Why?
I think it really combined a lot of things that excite me. It was a route that a couple of people who I really look up to and idolize, Killian Jornet and Carl Egloff, had done, who are 2 of the best mountain runners in the world. The competitive factor of saying, you know, it's one of the 7 summits, which is a really big deal. Those are the highest mountains on each continent. But I think also one of the things that fascinated me about this record was it's actually really complicated in this interesting way, in that you really need a unique skill set. You need to be able to really run 45 miles, but at the same time, you also need to be able to climb and hike up really, really steep terrain where you're actually not running, you're just hiking, and you need to be able to cover that terrain quickly. And all of this is being done really high altitudes and with really extreme temperature variations. And the first few miles, I was wearing a t-shirt and shorts, and on the summit, it's, you know, minus 20 Fahrenheit with wind chills. So, you know, I gave it a shot last year and didn't quite make it. And having that very small window of where you have only a couple of months a year where you can prepare for something like this, it makes it a multi-year project almost by definition. So this was really the day where everything came together.
Well, explain what you did when it comes to oxygen, because when you're at 12,000 feet, that's usually when you find out whether you're going to have altitude sickness. The porters on Mount Kilimanjaro say constantly in Swahili, poli, poli, go slowly.
Poli, poli.
Yep, so you don't get sick. You're doing the opposite of slow. You can't take a couple of days off. How did you handle that?
Yeah, well, my old shop teacher, Mr. Fitzsimmons, or Fitz, always used to say, do as I say, not as I do. And I've kind of followed that one myself. I've always, for some reason, done really well at high altitudes. I grew up in Greater Boston, so pretty much at sea level. So it doesn't make a lot of sense to me, but it's something that I just go with at this point. And I know that, you know, going up gradually for me is important, but also that my body responds really well to pushing itself at high altitudes. So I did a lot of running. I raced a couple of long ultra trail races, you know, 50, 60 mile races. But then I actually started doing less running, but focusing more on just being up high and doing a lot of really big days in the mountains. So there were weeks where I was logging, I don't know, 30, 40, 50 hours just of moving time out in the mountains, 6, 8, 9 hour days, and just really getting my body used to that altitude. You know, those adaptations happen slowly, but they're really profound adaptations when they happen. And so by the time we finally got to Aconcagua National Park, we'd been up so high for so long that it pretty much just felt normal. So we actually spent close to 2 months without going below 13,000 feet, other than maybe 1 or 2 travel days.
So you acclimated before you actually went back down and came back up again.
Exactly, yes.
Unbelievable. You mentioned high school, Concord Academy in Concord, Massachusetts. One of the headlines, if you Google Tyler Andrews, one of the headlines you'll see is, he didn't even break 18 minutes for the 5K in high school. What happened? What happened to turn you from that kid to one breaking these extraordinary records?
Well, I don't want to downplay anyone running 18 or 20 or 25 minutes in high school. Like, I was really lucky in that my coach at the time, John Waldron, inspired me to adopt this idea of progress relative to myself and say, okay, let's just get faster than last week. And I fell in love with that idea. And I kind of just have been doing that for got like 15 years now. I kind of saw what I could do in the marathon and even in the 50K. And this is the thing that is now exciting to me because it's complicated. It's hard to train for. It's hard to get it right.
But does it bother you that, you know, here you have this incredible accomplishment and it doesn't get more attention? I mean, I would want a parade, you know. I mean, do you get anything for it?
I do run for Hoka. I run for Chosky. So I have brands that sponsor me. You know, I also recognize like I'm not in the NFL or the NBA and there's less attention on a sport like mountain running or even running in general. But at the end of the day, like I think athletics and being in the mountains is something that I would be pursuing whether there is money involved or not.
And you're on Aconcagua with its glorious dark green fields and then its snow-capped ridge at the top. Tell us about one thing or maybe a couple that took your breath away. Not the altitude.
Literally?
Yeah,
like walking to the bathroom every morning?
Not the altitude breath, but just the, where you, I mean, where you, if you could have, you would have stopped just in awe.
Yeah, it's really interesting because you could see the summit from the start of the route, which is really, really intimidating because it looks really far away. I think last year I wrote, you know, you're looking up there and it's like basically, you know, the same as running to the moon. It looks about as realistic. But that huge difference in altitude means you run through an unbelievable change in environment. So the environment at the bottom, you know, is lush and green and there are animals. And then you get to the top and there's literally nothing. There's no plants. There are no animals. There's nothing there. And so running back down, there's this very visceral sense of I'm coming back to a place where life is welcome again. You know, like I kind of went up into this special sacred place where people really aren't supposed to go, really living things aren't supposed to go. And now I'm back down here. And there's this particular moment where you kind of like come around this bend in this valley and all of a sudden there's just grass everywhere. And it goes from being this brown beige environment to this bright, bright green environment with these streams and giant boulders and everything. And that was really magical, especially because we were kind of approaching sunset. And so the light was really beautiful. It was actually a little bit of snow falling, breathtaking moments up in the mountains. That's a huge part of why I do it. Having the rest of our team there was really, really special as well.
Wow. Endurance athlete Tyler Andrews, who recently shattered the world record for the fastest ascent and descent of Mount Aconcagua in Argentina, the highest mountain outside of Asia. He ran it in 11 hours and 24 minutes. Climbers do it in 10 to 14 days. And founded the Chaski Endurance Collective. They offer running, coaching, trips, and camps. Tyler, again, we can't wait to hear what's next. Do you know what's next?
Yeah, I do. So actually, the reason I'm in Florida is so...
Let me guess. You're going to run in an alligator-infested river.
We actually got an offer to go to Kilimanjaro because of the Aconcagua record. So I'm actually leaving tomorrow to go to Tanzania, and we're going to try and make a bid on the Kilimanjaro record. Recovery has been pretty good. And it was one of those like do as I say, not as I do moments where I was like, well, if I was coaching this athlete, I would tell them that that's crazy. But like my body sometimes just bounces back really, really well. And sometimes if you can bounce back, you can kind of squeeze something else out.
Well, you will not be adhering to what we mere mortals have to on Kilimanjaro, which is poli-poli. You will not be going slowly.
It's all relative because really, it like, you know, when you're doing a 6, 8, 10, 12 hour thing, like you do go poli-poli, but you know, it's just the poli is relative to the person.
Tyler Andrews, thank you so much and best of luck to you.
Thank you so much, Robin. It's great to be back.
And we will keep you posted on that Kilimanjaro record that Tyler's attempting this week. The current Kilimanjaro running record is held by Carl Egloff. That's the same climber who previously held Tyler's Aconcagua record. It takes the average climber 5 to 9 days to climb Kilimanjaro. The time Tyler has to beat? 4 hours and 56 minutes. For pictures, great pictures, and updates, go to our website, hereandnow.org.